Nothing has happened, but everything's happened. It looks like Shrunk is getting some new selectors. Welcome to Shrunker 99.94. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Varzu-Devon from the Paparay. I want to say this is an emergency pod, but that would make it sound like we don't expect these things to happen in Sri Lankan cricket, when we entirely do. Estelle, it's been quite a busy last few days, because we kind of got news, was it on Thursday night or Friday morning, that it looks like Pramoda is going to be leaving his post as the kind of chief selector. We're getting a new whole selection group committee, because it sounds like the sports minister and the National Sports Council aren't too happy about the situation. Can you give us an update of exactly where we are and all the kind of political process around it? Because selectors and squad selection is a political issue in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think although it's kind of lit up during the last few days, basically, I think a lot of people who followed the team around would have expected Pramoda to face some scrutiny after that performance in the T20 World Cup. So it's kind of been brewing since then, and all these little discussions and meetings that have been had with regards to how badly the team did and the disciplinary issues. And it's kind of finally come to a head, I guess, with reports coming out that the National Sports Council and the sports minister have rejected a list of 10 names that Sri Lanka Cricket had sent in to propose as new members of the selection committee. But I hear that they haven't outright rejected it, but they have asked for more exhaustive list of candidates who they can look at. So I think SLC had given them 10 names, including the current chief of selections, Pramoda Wickremasinghe, Ramesh Kalvitarna and Hemantha Wickremaratne, who were in charge of basically picking the men's senior side. Anyway, so I know it's not formally rejected, but it's basically a rejection, right? When they ask you for better names, it's all a bit chaotic because you mentioned the political side of things. I don't know if this happens in any other country, but in Sri Lanka, the sports minister is able to appoint a selector. I think according to the sports law, he is able to. And every squad that we put out does actually go to the sports minister for ratification. So it cannot be, I know it is publicized because it gets leaked anyway, but any squad cannot be published or publicized until they receive kind of ratification from the sports ministry. So that's kind of where it stands now. We don't know, are they in, are they out, what's happening? There was supposed to be a further like discussion today, but we haven't heard much from that meeting, if it happened.
So I don't believe any other country that the sports minister gets as involved in the kind of day-to-day running of the national cricket side as they do in Sri Lanka. There's historic precedent for this, though. There's a reason why this happens in Sri Lanka, and that's because I think it was in the late 60s when Sri Lanka were invited to tour England, and the expectation was if they went there, they were kind of, you know, they didn't even need to win the series, they just need to be competitive and conduct themselves in a professional manner. The expectation was that Sri Lanka would then be granted test status in some part of the early 70s. That didn't happen. Part of the reason it didn't happen is because the selectors ended up picking themselves, and that's why the government had to kind of take control slightly of the situation and go, maybe it's not a good idea for the selectors to be considering themselves for selection. Obviously, that was in a time when cricket, not just in Sri Lanka, but all around the world, wasn't anywhere near as professional as it is now, and cricket on the island definitely wasn't as well developed as it is now. It's kind of weird, I think, that the government are so involved. We also, you know, I don't feel, as somebody who lives in Sri Lanka, I have any right to talk about the political situation in Sri Lanka, But what I will say on this is it does feel like there's a lot of other things going on in Sri Lanka right now that maybe politicians should be involved in, opposed to who the selectors of the national team are. But, you know, there we are. One of the other bits I did see in regards to this from reports at the end of last week was that Arjuna Ranatunga, who is our, we should say, our 1996 World Cup winning captain, and was an incredible player in his time playing for Sri Lanka. But he is on the National Sports Council. And
he's heading it.
I think he's quoted as saying somewhere that the selectors... Pardon, sorry?
I said he's heading it.
He's heading it. And I think I read a quote somewhere where he said that the selectors have to have played international cricket, right? And, I mean, if you look at the current selectors, they're at least headed up by somebody who's got a lot of experience doing that. And also, it looks to me like, well, you know, T20 cricket is not being played for a huge amount of time. Does that mean that if you haven't played international T20 cricket, you can't be a selector? And if you look at what other countries are doing, they use a lot more data, and they're quite open about using data in their team selection. I mean, does that mean that there is no role for a data analyst on the board, or somebody really crunches the numbers? Well, you know, there's lots of great cricket brains out there, and to me, just making that kind of statement sounded slightly regressive in a way.
I mean, I don't know if you can call it regressive, because imagine if Sri Lanka cricket thought that only somebody who had played international cricket could coach them in 1996, you know, where would the team have been? Because Dev Watmore didn't play international cricket. So it's very weird to hear somebody who won the World Cup with a coach who hadn't played international cricket to say now that selectors need to have played at that level. Like you said, I think, I mean, and there have been, I mean, Dev Watmore is not the only example of that, right? Mike Hessen, another coach who had tremendous success in international cricket despite not having played at that level. It is, I mean, I'll be honest, it's not something unexpected, but it's disappointing because it did feel like Sri Lanka were finally kind of embracing the modern day type of cricket. And it almost feels inevitable now that we might take a step or two back, which is disappointing because, you know, whatever said and done, I think you may not have agreed with every decision taken by Pramod Wickremesinghe and his team, or agree that Sri Lanka have had a lot of success during the last 2 years. They've lost, I think, much more than they've won. But what you can see is there's been progress. So it feels strange that, you know, I understand the criticism in that, you know, obviously you're looking for good results and there are some things that maybe need to be addressed. But this whole thing about having had to play international cricket, and also I believe there are a lot of cricketers who just don't want to be involved, right? Because of everything that's gone on in Sri Lanka cricket in the past. So I don't know, regressive, or I don't know what you can characterize that statement as.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about my encounter with Mickey Arthur that I promised people on Twitter I will mention. And I also think we've got to try and look beyond, you know, what might happen next. Because I do wonder how different would a squad look with different selectors. I think that's the big key question here, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
I think it's amazing, Estelle, that we're 51 episodes in and we've only got new selectors now. 51 episodes about Sri Lankan cricket, all with the same set of selectors, is actually quite extraordinary in some ways. But anyway, on Friday afternoon, I bumped into Mickey Arthur. I'm obviously a freelance journalist. If you want to employ me, you can. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Machado. And I do a lot of work in the News UK building, and which is where it's the home of TalkSport. In fact, I'm on TalkSport in the UK quite a lot, talking about various different things. And Mickey was here in the building doing the commentary of England's series against South Africa, as was Jared Kimber, our leader, the Iron Man, as it were, of this Avengers clan of 99.94 podcast. I managed to get a selfie with him and have a quick chat with him. And he talked really fondly about his time in Sri Lanka and said he absolutely loved it. I did ask him, you know, would he be up for going back there and doing some more work there in the future? And he said, absolutely, definitely. Which kind of implied that, you know, he didn't think the board was too difficult to deal with, and the kind of administration around it as well. But also it was lovely. What I thought was more lovely than anything else is the kind of sentiment he expressed for Sri Lanka appears to be the sentiment that most Sri Lankan cricket fans have for him, right?
Yeah, I think he was the kind. He's kind of a people's coach, isn't he? He builds up teams. So he was pretty popular, not in all quarters, I must say. Like when the fitness issues came about, you know, there was a lot of stuff flying around. But he's quite popular. And it's good to hear, like you said, him saying that he'd be happy to come back. I think with a lot of the coaches, they love the kind of the cricket environment in Sri Lanka, the players who they work with. It's always just the administration that people seem to have a problem with, right? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day in the future, there's an opportunity. I would love to see him work with like some of the junior or the A teams, because I feel like he's really. I mean, I don't know if that'll ever happen, because obviously he's at the highest level. But that would be great to see, because I think there's a lot to learn from coaches like him. He's coached around the world, particularly in the longer format of the game. I think it'll be a really superb asset.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's obviously manager of Derbyshire, but I noticed he's been related to the Pakistan job, and there's a lot of people online. There's a lot of Pakistan fans who would like to see him back in that position again. He's back in the building. I think the third and final ODI is either on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Maybe I might see him and see if I can get a little bit more out of him. But the other thing I will say, I've not been to Pakistan, New Zealand, or South Africa, but I think I've been to pretty much all the other test playing nations, apart from Zimbabwe and Afghanistan as well. Sorry, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a place where cricket is more ingrained in the culture, or as ingrained in the culture as it is in Sri Lanka. I think even you know, I'm half Indian, and I think Sri Lanka probably has the edge over India in terms of how important cricket is into the culture. Though no doubt our colleagues and producers will probably clip that out, and I'll get pelters of abuse from Indian cricket fans on social media. But there you go. If you are watching this live, if you're watching it on YouTube or Twitter, we'll take your you can leave us a comment, and we'll discuss whatever you've got to say about Mickey Arthur, Sri Lankan cricket, and who the new selectors should be, if we even need new selectors, once we get to the end of the show. Estelle, should we take another quick break? And when we come back, should we look at what the future might hold for Sri Lanka cricket?
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
So, Estelle, it's 10 to 2 in the UK, which means I think it's 7:20 across India and Sri Lanka. We were expecting there to be a meeting of the at the sports ministry involving various parties. I can't keep track of all the various different boards and councils and stuff like that that are involved in all this to kind of discuss who the next selectors would be. We haven't. I imagine it's ongoing right now. They're probably enjoying a few mutton rolls and other such things. And I assume that they've come to some sort of conclusion, but we don't know any of this. We don't know who they are. We don't know what to expect. We know that there's a A-team series starting against England Lions very shortly. And we also know that they've basically brought back anyone, you know, all the kind of older test players into that. I suppose the big kind of question for the new selectors are, how do you want to bring back any of these senior players, and which ones do you want to bring back, and how do you, you know, who do you drop from that kind of, you know, the core of the World Cup squad? And I say core, I mean, over the last few months, we've seen almost all of them have played at some point and had a part to play, and been given a run at. That team is not as set as it has been in years gone by, and who do you bring back in? What should we be expecting? Who do you think is coming back in? This seems like a massive way to try and get Angelo Matthews back into the side, right?
To be honest, I don't know. I mean, before I forget, I want to say props to you for getting the time right. I don't think that's ever happened before. The Indians that the time. Anyway, I don't know who's gonna come back in. Obviously, the A-team series, 2 4-dayers and 3 1-dayers. So I guess the one-day games may give us insight if they want to bring in guys like Angelo Matthews or Dinesh Chandimal. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess. What I feel is, see, it's tough because in my mind, if Angelo Matthews was really keen on getting back into the white ball team, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't have kind of put his name up for any of the franchise leagues. Something like the BPL, where last week we discussed how, you know, someone like Chaturanga De Silva is opening the batting for one of the teams. So obviously, a guy of Angelo Matthews' caliber would probably have gotten a go if he had put his hand up to go there. So I don't know how he feels about it, whether he is as keen as some of his fans are for him to kind of get back in the white ball setup. But it's going to be interesting. I think if the selectors do change, I don't know if it kind of will be once again, you know, Sri Lanka having to start from square one. Obviously, World Cup is just a few months away. Sri Lanka will likely have to play the qualifiers as well. So it's not the ideal time where you want to have a shake-up of, you know, your setup. Particularly because I think barring in the series against India, where you have to admit every team that's gone to India has struggled. I mean, every Sri Lankan team over the past few years that has gone to India has struggled, right? And I believe during Angelo Matthews' time or when he was captain, also Sri Lanka had a few struggles against India. So you're going to expect that, right? But barring that, during the last year at home, Sri Lanka had a decent record. I think it should be based on building from there instead of kind of rehashing things all over again. But you know how things work, right? I mean, everybody who comes in wants to make their mark. And how better to do it than to do something everyone's going to be talking about, right? So you can't kind of rule out that kind of entry. Dinesh Chandimal has been part of the setup. So I don't know if it'll be that much of a surprise if he does come back. But Angelo Matthews will be huge news if he does make it back into the side.
It just feels like we've come a long way since that Durham moment, right, where Sri Lanka were down and out, looked like they shouldn't, you know, were really struggling on that England tour. That was, what, May 2021?
Yeah.
Since then, we've come a long way. We've won the Asia Cup. We've got upset that we didn't get to the semi-final for World Cup, which you know, if you think of our expectations going into the World Cup the year before that, we were just happy to even be there. There's a lot of good things going on in Sri Lanka cricket right now. There's, what, 17 boys playing franchise cricket in various parts of the world as we speak. And there's, what, five in the IPL. There's a lot of positives. There's a lot of talent coming through. There's, you know, we've always known that there's a lot of talent coming through in Sri Lanka. We, you know, we talked about the enthusiasm for the game and how important the game is culturally earlier on. I just don't want to be in a situation where we end up going backwards. I'm not saying that I don't think Angelo Matthews should be in the team or shouldn't be in the team, but what I'm talking more about is about the culture around the team. You know, from some of the reports that we heard, it does suggest that maybe, you know, the behaviour wasn't optimum at the World Cup in Australia. The thing is what we do also know is that, you know, at least the national selectors didn't appear, it appears now, didn't really possibly have the support of everyone involved in the administration of sport on the island. I suppose all I can kind of say at this point, Estelle, is whoever comes in, whoever it is, you know, if this is Sri Lanka, it could just be the same three guys wake up tomorrow morning, they've still got the job and they've got to go, you know, watch the A-team tour, watch the A-team series and then go pick the team to go to New Zealand. Whoever it is, firstly, I obviously wish them all the luck in the world, because I think anything to do with sports administration, you need luck. And secondly, I just hope that they don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, to use a well-trodden phrase when it comes to reshuffles and all that kind of thing. And they don't they don't try and do anything too crazy, because I think there's a good crop of players coming through now who are starting to get the feel of playing international cricket. And if we have the right belief in them, and if we back them, if we get them the right coaching and put them in the right, if it all falls into place, there's a few of them that I think can go in and be absolutely world-class and get into that pantheon of great cricketers and maybe one day deliver a major ICC trophy for us somewhere down the road. I think the problem is, though, is that we've all got to admit that 2023 World Cup is probably not going to... It's not something at this stage. I don't think Sri Lanka are looking to win. They definitely should be looking to lay a marker down and building it for 4 years' time, though. That's just my take on it. I don't know. Hopefully I'm wrong and we win it. I'd love that. But I can't see how that's going to happen at this stage.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think you have to be realistic as well, right, about what's going on. And I think that's been one of the biggest flaws for Sri Lanka, biggest obstacles they've faced is they're always looking at the nearest World Cup instead of planning for something that's maybe 2 or 3 years away, where they can really put a plan into place and really compete at. We've seen this multiple times, right? In 2019, suddenly Lasith Malinger, is he going to retire? Is he not going to retire? Is he going to be captain? What's happening suddenly? Dimuth Karunaratne is appointed captain, and Sri Lanka kind of, despite having like a couple of passengers in that squad, managed to make a fist of it, chiefly because they beat England in one game and the English pitchers didn't play according to what they expected, I guess, because everyone was expecting 350 plus scores and those pitchers didn't play like that because of the weather. But in 2021, Sri Lanka tried to build a little bit, new coach, new setup. Mahela Jayawardena comes in as kind of a mentor. There is a bit of strategy. They build a little bit. 2022 was a progression of that, although Sri Lanka didn't do as well as they would have expected. I don't know if you realistically anyone was saying Sri Lanka was a shoe-in for a semi-final, right? It would have taken a really brilliant performance for them to get to the semis. So no one seems to be able to accept that it's a progressive thing. It's not going to happen overnight. England didn't turn around their fortunes in a year, right? I mean, Owen Morgan captained that 2015 World Cup where they got knocked out in the first round. But they built towards the World Cup, the next World Cup, 4 years later, and that's when they saw results. So, like you said, I just hope that there aren't any, you know, dramatic changes. Whether it's a different selection committee or not really doesn't really matter, as long as that the good work that's been done is built on, instead of kind of, you know, destroyed and then you have to start from scratch.
Absolutely. Estelle, let's leave it there. We'll be back later in the week. At some point, we might preview the A-Team series, maybe take a closer look at some of the England Lions. And I'm sure when news comes out, however it comes out, we'll be back to discuss who the selectors are, if it's the current selectors all over again or if someone else has come to take the role. This is Sri Lanka 99.94. Back soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.